It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
With Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk Sox and out of town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
All right, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. There's really only one thing I tell myself every single day now, Chris. And it's not the forced Orwellian, we're all in this together slogan that I think should have a question mark after it. God forbid I say that. You know, they had us record all these PSAs. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. All right. It could always be worse. It could always be worse. Everything's terrible. Every day is exactly the same. But it could be worse. I could have kids. You could have kids, Chris. Could be worse. That would be a strain on the wallet, be an added stress, added worry, prevent me from sleeping 12 to 14 hours a day, which has really been the only way for me to deal with this hell that we're living in. Could always be worse, Chris. It could always be worse. I could already be out of work. I could be living on these streets. I could be in the ICU with the bug. I just try to keep a realistic perspective during these increasingly terrible times. It could always be worse. I could be working on whatever that hokey garbage that was on the Fox Sports feed before us. Did you hear any of that driving in? Or were you listening to music? Or were you listening to another, like, something? Did you hear any of that?
No. Holy
crap. This is why I get frustrated with this industry. The fake laughs, the forced conversation, talking about who's a better athlete. Joe Exotic or someone who plays esports with the wacky names. Like Starfish versus Dorito. That was a real line that I just heard about 10 minutes ago. Swear to God. I get it. We're all kind of scraping here. And it's
a little tough.
But it's showing you who's actually, you know, actually good at radio. And then, like, oh, my God, like, who's better? Who do you think would be a better athlete? Huh? Joe Exotic or Starfish? Is that one of the wacky names of someone that plays esports? Like, what an absolute hell that would be. You should have seen, I don't know if you saw Tucker walk out. Tucker Silva, who's worked here forever and was producing that, had to sit here for the last 3 hours. The poor guy looked like he ran a marathon. Yeah, to run the board for that crap.
Tuck's the best.
Oh, my God. So, again, it could always be worse. I could be a snitch or a bitch during these increasingly terrible corona times. And here's where I wanted to start, because these are two types of people in sports I can't deal with any longer, Chris. The snitches.
Unburden yourself, Jim.
The snitches like Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, and who is one of the leaders of the unbelievably annoying sports media arm of the CDC. I liked following him for the most part. I did until this. A lot of informative stuff, but I can't. I can't. After yesterday, I was like, I'm done after I had my snarky little response with a picture of a nana after he had another finger-wagging post. I can't with this guy anymore. The one that was the last straw for me, he tweeted yesterday morning, so many in the media were celebrating the Tua Tagovailoa Pro Day workout that no one bothered to notice or mention it violated the Tennessee stay-at-home order. It's this every day with this guy. Like, I get it. We're all supposed to stay at home. We're all in this together. Question mark. So, what else do you want to do, Mike? What do you do when you're not posting? You're increasingly finger wagging posts about, oh, the NFL shouldn't be holding the draft. This is bad, 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 bad. Drive to Home Depot and yell at people. If you live locally, here's a suggestion. Snitch. drive to Lake Quannapowitt in Wakefield and just keep going around the 3-mile loop and yell at people because people are still out.
Yeah.
They're practicing social distancing, but people do have to exercise and get out and get some sun. So, and for people like this, Twitter's bad enough as it is. And there's another warning to you, Chris. I see you on there more and more. Watch out. It's a bad place to be.
Wait, it is a bad place to be.
Wait till the first 2 to 3 day stretch of 70-degree weather. Wait till you see how bad Twitter's going to be then. Stay at home. You got to stay at home. We get it. With the face mask on, you put the gloves on, people are still... You still got to get out and try to get some exercise. So, and this has been my thing from the get-go. And did I underplay this? Yep. Egg on my face. Shame on me. I got it wrong. This whole thing. But what do you think? Like, people still got to get out. So if they're not going to have martial law, and hopefully that they won't.
Oh, don't give them any ideas, Jim, please.
People have to go out and get some fresh air. We'll stay away from each other. 6 feet, I get it. We're all in this together, ? But people have to get out and try to, like, move around and get some fresh air and not live like the crab people.
Hermits.
So guys like Florio, I'm done. I can't follow him anymore. And maybe I'll miss some information, but I can't with his snitching, trying to get people in trouble. Like, Tua did his thing. They were staying away from each other. The kid's trying to, like, increase his draft status where he's taking a hit this week because there's concerns about his injury.
Sure.
What do you want? Do you want the people that were in that indoor little field house with him? Do you want those people fired? Do you want them arrested? Like, enough of that crap.
Well, I've heard people have said the same thing about Dak Prescott throwing to Dez Bryant.
Right, yeah, that was another one, too.
And also, I can't remember, I don't think it was Tua. I can look this up, but there was actually a player who recently put out a pro day video where the team requested it. So how do you know that teams didn't request to Lee Steinberg, to his agent, that, you know, well, we need to see some video of him throwing because we can't meet with him. We can only meet with him through, like, Zoom and talk to him. But, you know, we can't put him through a workout. He's not having a pro day. We can't do – so how does he know that a team didn't request – why is he assuming that Tua just decided to do this?
Well, you know –
which, if he did, I don't have a problem with it. But what if it's the team?
Well,
what if it's these same teams that fuel his site and feed him all this info that allows him to do what he does? What if it was them?
Then shame on that team, Chris. Shame. That team should be fined by the NFL. And it's bad that the NFL is doing this anyway. The pro days, the draft, the free agency. Shame. And I thought it was brilliant. You said weeks ago when we were, you know, and at the time bitching about Florio then, and he's gotten increasingly more insufferable. If you feel this strongly about it, Mike, well, then shut your account down.
Exactly. Stop the site.
Put your website on pause.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Until we're out of the coronavirus hell. So, hey, me getting fired up about it, too. So credit to him. You know, maybe it's kind of a troll move because you should see, like, oh, he gets ratioed like that because people see this like, all right, Nana, enough. But I can't. It's not good for my mental health to keep following him. So, bang, unfollowed. And it's I keep telling, like, anyone like him, and there's a lot of people like him. What do you think people are going to do when it starts getting warm? Worry about you, I'll worry about me and mine. As I've said time and time again on this show, and it's one of the things I truly believe in maybe the most in life, one of the great gifts you can give another human being is to not inconvenience them. Just worry about yourself, I'll worry about me, and we're all hopefully going to do the right thing, all right? Oh, I saw people out, I'm going to call the cops. I saw the wife and I, you know, we go for a walk. Shame, stay in, shame. We try to go for a walk every day,
yeah,
as long as the weather's nice.
Yeah.
Two kids, like 10, 11, shooting hoops at one of these public courts in Melrose where they haven't put the zip ties in the big pieces of wood over the hoops yet.
Don't get me started on this. Go ahead.
So ridiculous. Two kids. As we were walking, in my head, I was like, how long is this going to last before some snitch calls on them? What do you know? Two, because you got to have two cruisers, because, again, these unruly kids could get out of control. I get it. The cops got nothing to do right now in these smaller towns. Two cruisers show up to get these kids off the court. You happy with yourself? Snitch neighbor? Two kids? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, that's
what
extreme.
Are we doing? What are we doing?
So you know, that's the one thing of all the things that have been done, the one thing that I disagree with, because most of the stuff I agree with, you know, and I think we have to be smart, and I advocate people being smart and staying inside and do the social distancing. But this thing in the city of Boston, it's happened where they're shutting down the basketball courts. And I saw what happened in Venice Beach in LA. You can't have that. You can't have a full 5-on-5.
Right, yeah.
But I live across the street from a park, Jim. Since I was a kid, one of the ways I clear my head is to go out and shoot.
Thank you.
And I've seen people out there shooting. But no one's playing, like, you know, one-on-one, two-on-two, people are just shooting, and there's two half courts. And this is what bothers me about it. There's two things that bother me about it. One, the people out there shooting on this court that has a fence and has now been padlocked. I went over there. It's padlocked.
Ugh.
You can't get in. And I'm devastated by this. There's two issues I have with it. One, people shooting on those two courts are actually practicing more social distancing than I see with people who are running, jogging, biking. Like, they're all on top of each other. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone who's running run right by me. There's no social distancing, or run right up my back. So it's like the basketball thing, I don't get it. So that's one. The second thing I don't like about it is, okay, are we running around into the suburbs and putting zip ties on people's basketball courts in their backyards? What about neighborhood kids who want to gather and play? I don't think it's intentionally discriminatory, but it is discriminatory, and it is not just. If you're telling me you're going to close down all these neighborhood basketball courts, then you got to start running around to everybody in the suburbs and start putting zip ties on their courts and telling them they can't go out,
yeah.
Which I don't want them to do, but I'm just saying, like, what are you doing?
No, if you're going to do it to the public courts, make it even
Steven. If you live in an urban environment, you don't have a backyard. Like, that is my backyard that I use. So I can't shoot on my hoop, but someone can go in the suburbs, can go out in their yard and still shoot? That's not fair.
I'm with you 100% on this. The basketball net thing.
It's like, insane. That's insanity. Like, we've gone too far.
Yeah, and so again, you would hope that humanity will take the personal responsibility to not have a 5-on-5 game.
Yeah.
Like, that's stupid.
Or 3-on-3 or 2-on-2.
Yeah, don't do that. But to clear your head, Chris, like you said, it's one of the great things you can
yes.
do. You know, you learn that as a child. Your dad shows you how to shoot.
Yep.
You go to a net, you go to a light, and you shoot to clear your head.
Yes.
That's all. Or you work on your jumper if you're really into the game and you're actually going to play in school and high school. But just as an adult, you go, you take your ball, you maybe smoke one up before, and you shoot around by yourself for like 30 minutes or 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Clear your head. But now you can't even do that zip tie. No. And, but, you know, people that have their personal net still get to do it. No, it should be even Steven.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's not, but nobody's thinking of that, you know? And I just think that's one where, like, look, I think Mayor Walsh is trying to do the right thing. He's trying to do everything he can to protect the citizens of his city. I respect that. I appreciate that. But one of my biggest pet peeves in life is when people have, like, one-size-fits-all solutions for things that are not one-size-fits-all. So some of these smaller courts, like, and I admit I have a vested interest in this, but some of these smaller courts, like the court by me, which is literally two half courts side by side, like, I don't understand why that's padlocked. You know, even if you want to shut down some of the bigger courts that get a lot of run, like some of the ones near me, like in Roxbury, where people, you know, I haven't seen anybody playing, but I know in the past I've seen a lot of, like, 5-on-5 and people waiting to get next and all that. I get that.
Yeah.
But at least leave some of these smaller courts open so people can shoot. You know, and just it's exercise. It's an opportunity to clear your head. And that one, I don't get that one at all. That one honestly, like, agitates me to no end.
But more importantly, Chris, who do you think's a better athlete, Carol Baskin from the Tiger King or Gam Su of esports fame? Huh, come on, let's talk about it here. Okay.
Well, I would have to defer to the esports expert, which is you, since you used to be one of these esports commentators.
Let's stop. That was a long time ago. So. Easy paycheck at the time. I worked for the defunct G4 network commentating on Madden. At least Madden is sports-ish, right?
Yeah, that's true. Did you ever get to meet Olivia Munn?
No, she came after me. And anyone that I knew, a few guys I became friends with that worked at the network years afterwards, said that she is, A, as incredibly stunning in person as she was on television, and, like, the nicest girl you've
ever met. Oh, that's really cool. That's cool to hear.
Wildly hot. So, yeah, snitches, and then the bitches. Just quickly, the other thing, and I just mentioned it in the headlines. Okay. This story, like, this is another one. Donovan Mitchell, reportedly reluctant to fix his relationship with Rudy Gobert, who unfortunately became, like, the boogeyman in the face of COVID-19 when sports got shut down a month ago, which feels like 3 years ago, because he touched all the microphones and shame, ooh, he's the boogeyman of COVID-19. Like, again, he, like me and others, we didn't know. We underplayed it. We hoped for the best and thought the thing was just going to be the flu, and it wasn't. All right, here we are a month later, and he was wrong. Like, enough. Get over it, Mitchell. You didn't die from the thing. You didn't end up intubated. You ended up catching it from him. But, like, get over it. What do you want? It doesn't appear salvageable, a source tells Shams of The Athletic and Yahoo and others. Really? Really, you baby? Like,
I don't know. I'm Team Mitchell on this one.
Oh, come on.
You should not be affected by other people's stupidity. And what Gobert did was beyond what you were talking about in terms of saying, like, okay, it's the flu. Like, he was openly flouting it, and he was behaving like an idiot and a moron, and he infected other people. I'm sorry. Like, I'm Team Mitchell on this one.
But
don't jeopardize my health with your rampant stupidity.
He was a child about it. Gobert was a child about it, but he apologized. He realized his mistake, and I think he's been very genuine about with his apology. And it's not like, to my knowledge, it's not like he spit in Mitchell's mouth while he was sleeping. Like, you know, he goofed around and touched his stuff. And, all right, he was an idiot and he got it wrong. And Mitchell got it, but, you know, he didn't really have, he was essentially asymptomatic. He got over it. You want to be mad about it? Like, fine. But to have it be an unsalvageable relationship and now you want him off the team? Oh, you baby. All right, well.
Maybe he just didn't like him before, and this is a convenient excuse.
Maybe. Okay, maybe that's what it is. Maybe
I think that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, now I got my out. yes, I hate him because he gave me coronavirus.
He gave me a potentially deadly disease. Yeah, no one could say anything to that.
All right, I had to get that off my chest.
No problem.
Oh, jeez.
It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah. No, what I've looked at as these Saturday shows recently, Chris, is it's my three-hour therapy, and unfortunately, you have to deal with the fallout. There are things we do have to get to. I know you still have some leftover thoughts with the interview with Tom Brady and Hoo-Hoo Howard from the middle of the week. The rule changes coming up in the NFL, that among other things. So if you want to join us at any point, 617-779-0985. Back after this with the question, who's a better athlete, Jeff Lowe from Tiger King, or like Starfish, Dorito, the esports athlete, here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, The Sports Up. All right, you know, before we move on, we should take some calls based on that opening salvo that I had. We'll go to Kevin in the car. You're first up this morning here on Gasper Murray. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Why are you in a car? How come you're not home?
Good question. I actually just got to the clinic. I work at a respiratory clinic where we see COVID only.
Well, thank you for what you're doing and for your work. And I was just joshing with you, pretending to be like Florio, because you can't leave your house.
Yeah. I know. I enjoyed that. No, I appreciate it. Actually, the reason I was calling is because the few days off that we're getting, all I want to do is go out and hit nine holes. And I don't see any problem with that. I feel like it can be done completely safely. I know you guys had a long segment on that the other day, but it just drives me bonkers. I just feel like, of all the things, it's just something that we should be able to do to just kind of ease our mind on days off and people that enjoy it.
And this is coming from Kevin. Thank you again for the call and for what you're doing, being on the front lines, working at a respiratory clinic. All you're seeing, as he just said, there is COVID-19 patients. On his days off, all he wants to do is hit a bucket of balls or just go out and play nine holes. And that's another one, too. I'm not sure who, because, again, I've been sleeping as much as I possibly can. Maybe it was mornings, middays. I don't know. Whoever was talking about it, I hope they were in favor of it. I have to guess it's Hardy, as he's our golf guy, and I have to think that he knows, as much as he's played golf, you're not near people. You know, as long as you're not in the carts together and you're not hovering over, let me get real close as you take this putt. Golf, inherently, is a game that practices social distancing. But I've seen this, too, and I don't know, like, I get being mad about the zip ties over the hoops at the public, the public basketball courts. I'm with you on that, Chris. The golf courses too. Are you with me on these? Because these should be open. Like, this is silly that they're closing all these courses again. If you just make sure you're not putting together foursomes, threesomes, whatever, and you're not renting carts to people that are going to be sitting with each other to say, hey, it's one cart per person. If anything, you're going to make more money as the golf course. I think the courses should be open.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with them being open if they're open. That's not an issue for me. And I feel like there's no sport that practices more social distancing naturally than golf.
Right.
I wouldn't have a problem with it. And again, it's kind of like what I was saying with basketball. It's like that opportunity to clear your head and get out, get a little fresh air and exercise. You know, the question is, how many people are going to start going out there? And will you be able to sort of maintain the social distancing? But I mean, I don't have a huge problem with it as long as people use common sense. But I know, like, in Rhode Island, haven't they closed all the golf courses?
I think they've closed them all in New England, to my knowledge.
Wow.
I know there's, you know, areas in the South that they're still open and, you know, where they haven't had the full shutdowns in certain states. But around here, I think they're all closed. And believe me, some of my buddies too, my usual golf buddies, there's all these rumors like, no, I've heard that there's people on this course and that course.
Oh,
and
really?
And I'm like, I don't know. I've called. I've looked online. It says that they're all closed, so maybe they're sneaky letting people on or maybe just members.
You have connections like Felger and Mass.
Yeah, I have no juice. I'm like Sonny D. It tastes good. You think it's juice. You look at the ingredients. No juice. Frank and Roslindale, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. You know what? I have to apologize. I was wrong. It wasn't you, Jim. It was Beetle that was on his rant the other day about how golf course is going to be closed and all this stuff. The only thing that saved my life the last month is that I've been walking into the third fairway of the George Wright Golf Course where I grew up, and it was in my backyard. I mean, the golf course is closed, but I just cut through the fence like I did 50 years ago, and I go out there with my 7-iron, a wedge, and a putter, and I kill an hour. And it's the only thing that saved my life.
I don't blame you, Frank, and good on you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I prematurely hung up on you. I live in Melrose, and they have the one public course in Melrose is Mount Hood, and there's an area near Malden where you could jump on. I think it's the fifth hole. Either way, there's a hole that, you know, if you there's houses on. If I lived there, I'd be on there every day, just like Frank and Roslindale, whatever his course is. Same thing, just to kill an hour, and I'm not going to make divots and wreck the course, just to go out, get some fresh air, take a breath, practice social distancing, and hit a few balls. Like, is that a big problem? The golf thing, like, open up the courses and just, you know, make sure you're diligent about making sure people aren't in foursomes and threesomes. And
yeah, I mean, I don't think as many people would be able to play, frankly.
Fine.
But, you know, that there's an I think that there's probably a happy middle ground between completely closed and having threesomes and foursomes.
Make sure you're scheduling tee times weeks and months out, and then, you know, open up. Even if you have to pay someone to, you know, pay a public, a city worker or someone like that, or someone that works at the public works department, you know, pay them a little extra to stand there and make sure that people aren't filling up the basketball courts and they aren't having full games. But people should be able to go out there and shoot hoops just to clear their minds, Chris. You know, they shouldn't be putting the zip ties and hammering down or taking down the hoops completely like they have in certain
communities. Honestly, if this basketball court near me, and I'm kind of making it about me at this point, if this thing were still open, even if they zip tied the hoop, I'd still just go out there and dribble. I can't even get in. It's padlocked. They padlocked the door to the hoop. It's a fence. You know, and I saw the other day there was a kid who climbed the fence and like jumped in there. And I haven't even checked the baskets to see if you can shoot at the baskets. He climbed in. I think he had a ball, and then he climbed out.
Right? Oh, yeah. No, I've seen this. There's a it's near I forget where. Coming in, the way that I come in to get to 93 every single day, I think it's technically Stoneham. I don't know. Either way. But there's, like, one of these outdoor jungle gyms for adults, you know, where you can do pull-ups and it's got the push-up bars on the ground and all
those
that.
Cool.
First, it's funny how it's kind of devolved here over the recent weeks. First, it was like the yellow tape around it, just like one little strip of yellow tape, and then that got taken down. And then it was a whole bunch of yellow tape, and then that got taken down. And then they put up some of like the steel, you know, the metal girders that you usually see to hoard the people like cattle when they're leaving an event. And then those went up, and those got taken out. You see people like, listen, I'm just going to keep hopping this or taking it down. Like, unless you have martial law, you're going to club me over the head. Like, I'm going to keep doing this. And people are going to keep. So this is the thing. Like, do you think people are really going to change their behaviors all of that much? Like, it's not like people are purposely trying to get together and they want to crowd around each other. But people still do need to kind of live their lives and get some fresh air. And what do you think is going to happen when the weather gets warm?
I mean, I'll tell you, like, on that court near me, I can only speak to this. I've seen people, like, literally wait. So, like, two people basically can be on at a time shooting at the hoop. And I've seen people literally, like, wait. You know, keeping the 6-foot thing, like wait for someone else to finish to go on. Like, that's what blows my mind. I mean, again, I can only speak to this one, and I drive around, you know, the area where I live, and I don't see like a lot of people congregating on basketball courts. Maybe this is a problem somewhere else, but I feel like most people were using common sense. You know, the only thing I've really seen was that terrible like 5-on-5 game in Venice Beach in LA, which was offensive. So I don't know. Maybe just have a little trust in the citizens to be able to do the right thing and not be stupid, not, you know, for them not to be the Rudy Gobert's of these municipal basketball courts.
Alex in the car on the golf courses. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, guys. So I'm up in New Hampshire, and they actually had a petition going around. They got about like 5,000 signatures to get the governor to reopen the golf courses. And I would love nothing more than to be able to go and shoot 18 this morning. But the reason that they gave to keeping them closed actually makes a little bit of sense to me, as much as it sucks. And it's just that every time you have a reason to go out, that's one more trip to the gas station, that's one more trip to, you know, you're going to have to go buy balls. And the whole thing is everyone's supposed to be staying home. So as much as I would love to go golfing, and I'm not going to contact people on the golf course, you know, I'm going to stop and get a Gatorade, I'm going to get gas, and it's just interactions upon interactions that shouldn't be happening if we just stay home, as much as it sucks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
and I had not thought of it from that standpoint, to be honest, when you put it that way.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to simplify it of, like, I already have the balls. I'm just going to go right to the course. I'm going to play those nine holes and then come right home. But, I, you know, are most people going to stop and make other stops? You don't have balls. You need to get a Gatorade first. You got to grab a, you know, a sandwich somewhere.
Yeah. And plus, you know, you're still using your car to get to work, so you're going to have to get gas. And I know what kind of car you have. I know you don't get great gas mileage.
I do not.
I don't either. So,
still, I try to keep it full, you know, because I'm always thinking worst case scenario. Again, every day it seemingly gets worse, so I make sure I am at full almost every single day, Chris. I'm putting gas.
See, that's a lot of trips to the. They do say that the gas pumps are like dangerous. Like, that's one of the places you can definitely contract coronavirus.
Take one more call on this before we move on. Tom in Arlington, go ahead.
Hey, guys, just real quick, not to keep the topic going, but the only thing that's really frustrating, in my opinion, is, you know, they're shutting down kids playing one-on-one basketball. You can't go to the golf course. But, you know, I have to work. I drive by, like, three or four convenience stores each day, and there'll be, like, five or six people in a group all playing Keno, sitting down there, and I can tell the workers that, you know, they're getting pissed.
Yeah,
I'm just surprised, you know, they're putting all these, you know, things in place for people that are trying to do things to stay active and, you know, stay safe. But I can walk into a convenience store and sit next to, you know, six people and, you know, play Keno for 2 hours. I'm just surprised, you know, they haven't looked into, you know, those sort of things where, you know, it's concerning for the workers, but also it's just mind blowing that they're going to go after, you know, things where you can stay active and stay away from people, but they're not doing anything in that regard. So Tom, I'll hang up and let you guys talk. Thank you.
Tom, is a good point. So as much as I think that people should calm down about the, you know, being outside, and, you know, I've seen it, like Lake Quantapow in Wakefield, it's full, but people are practicing the social distancing. They're going around, they're jogging, they're running. Sometimes you're going to be a little bit close, but whatever, people have the masks on. So I think people should collectively kind of calm down about the people that want to go out and get some fresh air, shoot some hoops to clear their mind, like Chris said. This Keno thing, I won't name it because I don't want to be a snitch like Florio. I do know of a place one town over. It's the same thing. I walked in to get like a jug of water. People still in there playing Keno. Like, it's like, what are we doing? Like, okay,
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Stupid.
You can't, if you own that convenience store, why don't you take your broom handle and like beat those people out of the store? Like, what are you doing? Get out of here. You want to play Keno? Tough. Like, buy a scratch ticket and walk the hell out. Like, on that end, you can't have people hanging out in convenience stores still playing Keno. Like, that's stupid. That's not practicing the social distancing as it should be practiced.
Can I have one other minor complaint? So I went to a store. I won't name the store, but I had to go to a store. Like, after I did radio yesterday, I needed more deodorant. And the store had a line outside to get in, which I know a lot of these stores are doing. But there was nobody there really sort of, like, running the line. So the line was not socially distanced at all. People were like all sort of bunched up, and I'm getting kind of nervous. You know, I got my mask on, but I'm like, what's going on? They let us in the store. There's no one in the store.
Oh.
It was far easier to practice social distancing in the store
than it was outside.
So it's like some of these things, it's like, I know they're well-intentioned.
Oh, it's a cluster.
But it's just like, let's use a little common sense. Like, I was thinking we had to wait because there were so many people in the store. No. There's like no one in there, and you get in the store and literally it's like I went three aisles and didn't see another human being. It was much easier to do the social distancing once I got in instead of standing outside on the sidewalk with people who weren't really practicing it. No marks were down. No one was enforcing it. Everybody's kind of all up on each other. It's like you're more likely to contract it there than actually going through the aisles in a giant big box type of store.
What a truly terrible time to be alive. I know I'm supposed to here as like a, you know, work in radio. You got to try to be up for the people. I can't. I'm not going to fake the up for the people. So again, it could always be worse, Chris. I could have to be working in like top 40 because like they whip you. They make sure you got to be up for the people. Everything's good. There's no bad stories when you work in top 40. Everything's good. I know it's a little tough right now, but we're all in this together, people, right? Oh my God. Here's a little Britney for you. Bring some smiles. I know of stations, Chris, there's stations that are actually playing Christmas music right now. Is this way to like try to motivate people to try to feel better. Oh, my God, what kind of world are we living in? Like, here's a little Christmas tune for you. I know it's not Christmas time. We're a few months past, but you need a little cheer right now, don't you? Yeah, here it is. 98.5, the Cheer Hub. I'd throw myself down a flight of stairs. And if I survive that, I drink a big, tall glass of bleach.
Jim. Who are you kidding? If they told you that's what you had to do, you would do it.
No.
Are you sure?
Yep. No, I've had it. No, I wouldn't do it, Chris. I'd just collect the unemployment and wait for the world to just blow up. Like I don't need the paycheck that bad. Here's your pal Big Jim here with you on 98.5 the Cheer Hub. I know it's not Christmas time, everyone, but can't we all use a little cheer inside right now? Yeah. Oh, bad times out there, but don't forget, we're all in this together.
And then you got to throw in the esports thing, too.
Oh, right, yeah. And coming up, too, we're going to have a fun little topic here. I know things are down, but we're going to have a fun little topic here on 98.5 The Cheer Hub. Who do you think is a better athlete? Big thing right now, everyone is at home, right? We're practicing the social distancing, watches it. We're watching the Tiger King on Netflix. Tiger King, everyone's talking about Tiger King, those poor Tigers. But, man, Joe Exotic, he is electric. Who do you think is a better athlete, Joe Exotic or Gamsu? We'll do that next here on 98.5 The Cheer Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
On Tua, it's interesting. If that player drops, I would absolutely expect the Patriots to at some point say, okay, we might have to go and do this. Because there are people within that building who are very, very high on Tua Tagovailoa. That's not saying that the Patriots would go ahead and do that, but if he drops far enough, remember too, a couple of years ago, Sony Michel, just before the draft, Mike Lombardi made a big deal about Sony Michel's knee. I don't know why he dropped, Michel did all the way to 31, but when he landed there, the Patriots were not shy at all about scooping up that player who, I know we have mixed reviews on him, did help him to a Super Bowl.
Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston on Tua Tagovailoa, who's been talked about a lot nationally this week and over the last week or so with him in regard to the Patriots. I think mostly thanks to your colleague Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. I think it was a week ago already, right? Like last Friday that he made the case that the Patriots should trade up and get Tua in the draft. You and I think, agree, Chris, that they don't have enough assets to even try to do that if they were going to try to trade with Detroit at number three. Who seems willing to move out of there. There was a story this week that they've talked to teams that said that some of these teams are interested in trying to go up there and maybe they could get a haul of picks. Maybe Stephon Gilmore would be involved in that trade. You're not that high on Tua. I am.
No, I'm high on Tua. I just don't.
I'm thinking Jalen Hurts by mistake.
Yeah,
Tua you like even more than Joe Burrow.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So Tua would be my number one overall pick.
If they were able to do this, even if they were trying to get into the teens, is this something you'd want to see the Patriots do?
Yeah, I mean, if you can get into the teens and get... I just don't think they have the ammunition to get up into the top 10 to draft this guy. And when I look at some of the other teams that are either quarterback hungry or quarterback curious, they have multiple picks. So I look at a team like Jacksonville. Jacksonville, yeah, I mean, Gardner Minshew is a nice story, but I don't think they're wedded to him in any way, shape, or form. And Jacksonville is picking at 9, and then they're picking again at 20. So they have two picks ahead of you. So they would have to pass on Tua twice, potentially, for you to get him. Or a team like the Raiders, who are always looking for an upgrade on Derek Carr. And they brought in Marcus Mariota, who I like, but they have one pick that's at 19. They have another pick that's at 12. So are all these teams going to pass on Tua? The Dolphins, you know, again, maybe the Dolphins like Justin Herbert better, and maybe they take him at 5. But what if they don't? You know, what if they trade down or they take something else or they feel like they can mess around between 5 and 18 and do that? So I just feel like it's going to be difficult for Tua to get to the Patriots. And I think it'll be harder for them to get up because they don't have a second round pick.
What do you think then, and this is one of the reasons that he's been talked about this week, is because Mike Lombardi, who I look at as a complete Belichick Bobo, talked about him, talked about the injuries, how he had a bad workout, hasn't showed that well. That's been, you know, one of the things that people have been talking about with Tua this week is that he's starting to maybe drop a little bit because of injury concerns, which rightfully so. There's been myriad injuries, and this last one, the hip dislocation, in the past, as you know, that's a career ender.
Yep.
But the way that Lombardi talked about him, like, I don't know, my antenna goes up, and it's like, Oh, he's trying to do Belichick's bidding. He's trying to devalue him as an asset to see if he can drop to 23, a la Aaron Rodgers, who took that precipitous drop where it's like, holy crap, he ends up landing to the Green Bay Packers way late in that draft. Is that what you think is happening here?
Yeah, I do think that's probably some of what's happening. And don't discount this fact either. Lombardi has a vested interest in the success of the quarterback position with the Patriots, not just because of his relationship with Belichick.
No, his kid.
His kid, Mick Lombardi, is the assistant quarterback's coach. So doesn't Mick look better if Tua's here?
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, he totally does. And that's one of the other reasons, too. I was like, wait a minute, his kid's on the staff. I had to look it up. It's like, Mick Lombardi. Oh, assistant quarterback's coach. Oh, there you go. That's what's happening here. So, and plus there's the Alabama connection. Like, I like him. I mean, you look at his numbers at Alabama. It's like, I mean, I'm coming close, but it's like 80 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. Like, it's ridiculous. And, you know, he's a little bit short. I typically don't like a lefty quarterback. And I also think he gets misunderstood in that he's one of these really athletic, rolling out, making plays with his feet type quarterbacks. It's not the case, really. Like, he's a good pocket passer.
He's an excellent pocket passer, I think. And he's one of these quarterbacks. He reminds me in a lot of ways of Russell Wilson in that he's one of these guys where he's going to extend the play, but he's going to extend the play to try and throw the ball down the field. And then if he has to take off. What's interesting with Tua Tagovailoa is the hip injury is a major concern, but really he's had all kinds of ankle issues.
Right.
And I would be more concerned about that. You know, he's a quarterback. The hip thing you mentioned was a career ender in the past, but medicine's come a long way. He seems to have made a pretty good recovery from that. And even if he's not as mobile and he's just more of a pocket passer, I'm like, okay, you know, he'll be okay. The ankle thing I worry about, because you are going to have guys around your legs, and that's one of those things where you can hurt those just running, you know, just trying to escape. It could be a non-contact injury. So he was not the most durable guy at Alabama, but I really like watching him play. I think he makes good decisions. I think he's an accurate passer. I think he can make all the throws. So we'll see. I would love to see him fall to the Patriots. I just don't think it's realistic. And then none of the packages that I've heard to move up to 3 from 23 are realistic in my mind. And I don't think that they factor in the idea that, forget what the draft chart says, when teams go up for quarterbacks, they have to overpay. I mean, that's traditionally what it is. They overpay. So it might add up on the draft chart, but I don't think that's what it's going to take, just adding up on the draft chart. You're going to have to exceed that, and that's challenging to do when you don't have a second-round pick. When you pick 23 in this draft, which the strength of it, I think, is its depth, and then your next pick is not until 87, how are you going to sell some team on that? And if that team knows you're going up for Tua and Bill Belichick's your coach, it's like, yeah, we'll give you these future first-round picks. So it's like, well, okay, I'm at 3 or I'm at 5 or I'm at 7. You're not going to give me a pick that's going to get that because you have Bill Belichick. And if Tua is any good, you're handing me some pick in the 20s. Yeah. What am I going to do with that?
Yeah, well, and the comp to use is the one that Volan used in his column. And it's obscene. It's the one that was the Eagles used to trade up with the Browns to take Carson Wentz. It was 2 first-rounders, including the one that they had that year. So if you, you know, some people don't want to count that. But ultimately, it's 2 firsts, a second, a third, and a fourth-round pick. And that was for a guy that ended up turning out, you know, being made out of glass. I think Wentz is good, not great. So you'd have to, you know, you'd have to have a real haul, and the Patriots just don't have it. They couldn't do it.
They don't, and it also doesn't mesh with what they're trying to do in terms of this on-the-fly reboot. You know, there's a lot of areas of this roster where they need to get younger or at least start finding the successors for people. And if you start trading all your draft capital for a quarterback because you have to move up, that becomes trickier. You know, I think this is a year where I actually would like to see them take 23. And if someone like Tua is not there, bounce from 23, trade back into the second round, pick up some extra picks and try and replenish the pipeline a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, it's tough. If he drops them Aaron Rodgers style, jump all over it. You know, if he drops to, say, 21 with the Eagles being there, that they're an easy trade partner. You know, you can do it. Or if you want to see if, you know, the Raiders are not interested in Tua, and if Mike Mayock at 19, another certified FOB, friend of Bill, is willing to do you a solid, fine. But the idea of going from 23 up to, you know, 7 or 6 or 5 or 4 or 3, I don't think they have enough.
Yeah, and no shot. And I'm with you, like, considering pre-Burrow and the year that he had, Tua and the injury, of course, like he was looked at as the consensus number one pick in this year's draft around a year ago. And I would have agreed with that. And you can understand, even with the hip injury, why he would be in the top 10. If he were to drop at 23, he's too intriguing a prospect. I would want to see them actually select him because he could end up being pretty good, injury concerns notwithstanding. But other than that, like, don't trade for him. I ride with Stidham and Hoyer and see what you got there. You've invested in the offensive line. Try to bring him along and try to win on defense. And, you know, replenish your defense. You have way too many holes. You need linebackers. You've lost a lot here in free agency. You need help up front. You could use another safety. So that's what I want to ultimately see them do, is, you know, replenish the many, many holes they have on this team in the draft coming up in, what, less than 2 weeks now? This virtual draft that we're going to have, at least it's something. 617-779-0985, you want to join us. So if not Tua, how about Cam Newton? Chris continues to make his case. We'll get to that next here on Gaspar and Murray.
Gaspar and Murray. 98.5 The Sport. This is Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So if not Tua, if not Jarrett Stidham, who should be the Patriots quarterback in 2020? If there's going to be a season, of course. Cam Newton, that is who. That is now who Chris Casper wants. He wrote just a couple of days ago in the Boston Globe, making the case for Cam Newton as the Patriots' bridge quarterback. And in your column, you write, Chris, when Newton's name was first invoked as a Fort Foxborough fit, I dismissed it. But the case for Cam is legitimate. He has to reinvent himself, and so do the Patriots. Newton, cut by Carolina after injuries dimmed his brilliance, has something to prove, as so does Patriots coach Bill Belichick in year one AB after Brady. I like that. They can do it together in a mutually beneficial agreement that buys each time to reset the clock. So that's it, just 1 year of Cam. You really think this thing could work?
Yeah, I mean, look, if it goes really well, they could always franchise him after the 1 year, but he's going to be 32. He needs to reset his value. The Patriots are looking for a bridge quarterback. They need to figure out their plan. I think another year of seeing, you know, Stid in practice, they can figure it out, or say that they need to draft someone when they have a little more draft capital. I could, you know, look, this is my opinion. I'm not going based on any information I've heard from anybody else in the NFL or the organization, but I could see it happening after the draft. Let's see how the draft shakes out. I think most teams at this point, and I think most free agents too at this point, want to see what happens in the draft. Because after that, there will be teams with obvious needs. And I think even for the players, it becomes much clearer where the opportunity is and where you can go and play. But I think on paper, Cam Newton makes a lot of sense. And the one thing I keep hearing, because I get the emails, Cam Newton's not a Patriot guy. You know, Cam Newton's flamboyant. You're right. He is. Cam Newton's a me first guy. He can be. But the Patriots have signed those guys before. And to me, this argument against him ends with two words: Antonio Brown. That's it. They took that guy. You and I were on the air begging them not to take him, and they took him.
Oh, I wouldn't even use him in the same breath as Cam Newton in terms of what an a-hole that
that's what I'm saying.
Antonio Brown is.
Yes.
But yeah, they've dealt with mercurial guys before. I don't even think Newton's that. He's just, you know, he's a little flashy. I can understand that's why you would want him here because, you know, you guys could talk about outfits, designers, why Kooky sweaters are back after 20-some-odd years, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
I just, like, I get it because, I mean, he was a MVP in 2015, got that team to the Super Bowl, and when he's on, he is awesome, and he's fun to watch. I just, and to your credit, too, you do say, you know, the soon-to-be 31-year-old who won the NFL MVP in 15 has significant mileage on him. I think that's being kind. He's taken an absolute beating these last few years. That's my concern. I just think he might be cooked.
Well, I think he's cooked, Jim, as the type of quarterback we know him as. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to just rely on his legs. And I say in that column, you know, he doesn't have to be Superman. He just has to follow him, which is Brady. I mean, he doesn't have to play the way he used to play. And that's why I think it would make sense for him to come here. Because if he's going to reinvent himself as a little bit more of a pocket passer, then the best person to do that with is Josh McDaniels. And at the same time, he's still going to have some mobility. He would have way more mobility than the Patriots have had at that position, you know, in a while. Although Jimmy was pretty mobile when he ran around back there. But that would be a boon to some of the play calling and some of the things the Patriots want to do. So I think it's kind of a win-win. I mean, Newton's at this point in his career where a lot of people feel the way you feel, and I get it. And I don't think he can keep playing the way that he played when he won the MVP. But I still think he's talented enough to play a different way and still be not only a starting quarterback in this league, but a Pro Bowl, a borderline Pro Bowl caliber quarterback with the right system, the right team, and the right coaching.
All right. Given, though, there could be, you know, if he's healthy, some upside there. And, you know, Jameis Winston was drafted number one overall. Yeah. You can see, you know, with his age, maybe there's someone that could figure him out. I don't know if you're, you know, still surprised that those guys are out there. Does it really have to do with the draft? Or is there maybe something a little bit more there? And you, the people, do you want Cam Newton as the Patriots quarterback in 2020? 617-779-0985. We'll get to all that right after the Sports Hub headlines with me.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.